It's a special pleasure to be back during the time of Sukkot and, of course, all the fall holidays. The holidays have special significance, as you know, and many of these things are not really fulfilled yet. For instance, the Tabernacle Festival has a lot of mysteries about it because we have really no fulfillment of this yet, but it is to come. So all of these fall holidays, I hope you're having a joyous time in Jerusalem. All of them really have mystery concerning the end of our age. I think of tabernacles where Jesus promises to come and tabernacle with us. What a wonderful, wonderful thing we see in Revelation 21:3. So the trumpet in this season speaks of the end of our age, the sounding of the trumpet. We've had a little trumpet sounding even this morning with David. So it's a special time, and as we approach this time, and as it speaks of the end of the age, just like us to read a little bit from the Scripture. If you open the holy and eternal Word of God to the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, we'll begin with verse 6. Really strange and incredible words about the end of our age. It says in Isaiah 11:6, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand on the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What an incredible passage of Scripture. As we think of these symbols that we have during Passover, the symbols of joy and happiness and glory in the Sukkot, I just want to think about these things as we deal with two subjects this morning. First of all, the subject of the present evil age, which is passing away. The Jewish people would say, Ha'olam hazeh, this present evil age. You see this expression actually in Galatians 1:4. We might ask, why is this age so evil? I think it goes back to the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden long ago. And, of course, God put Adam here to rule as his vice regent in the earth, to keep everything going in the right directions and doing the right things. And Adam fell from his position. What a position it was, walking and talking with God every day. Wow. But he fell from that position. It seems like that Satan took that opportunity to take over that authority that man had on the earth. And we see man no longer walking and talking with God, but we see Satan in the heavenly realms talking with God and accusing each of us before God. So it's been a sort of a transfer of authority, it seems, as we look at the Word of God. Now, Satan doesn't own the world. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says in Psalm 24, 1 and 2, that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. this earth belongs to the Lord. But Satan is having a lot of influence in this earth. I heard one missionary woman speak, and she said, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to God, but the devil's out there milking them. And that's exactly what's happened, it seems. Out in the world, we see the devil everywhere taking advantage of God's goodness. The Bible says in John 14:30, he is the ruler of this age. He has a lot of authority that's given him, but he has to go to God to get authority to test us. We see that in the book of Job, the first chapter. So God is in control of this world, but because of the fall of Adam, Satan seems to have a lot of influence in this world. He's even called the prince of the power of this world. So Satan is busy doing a lot of things. He has come to steal, to kill, destroy. We see a lot of that action of Satan here in this land. We begin to see a lot of it in our own United States. 2 Corinthians 4:4, we see something else about Satan and his business. It says, the God of this age hath blinded the minds of unbelievers, lest they see the glory and the truth of God. So Satan is busy putting blinders on everybody, even on Christians, if he can get away with it, so that the glory of God becomes dim. I want to think of some of the characteristics of this present evil age, very briefly. That in this age, God is constantly scorned. The Word of God is scorned and ridiculed everywhere. That's what's happening in this present evil age, but it won't happen forever and not much longer. So we see the foolish theories of man elevated to great heights. I think of the theory of macroevolution, that everything just happened because of some great cosmic accident. You've got to have a lot of faith to believe that, don't you? It didn't happen that way, but that theory is promoted everywhere in our power centers in this world. We see the sacredness of marriage compromised everywhere, more and more. In fact, in June, in our country, our highest court decided that homosexual marriage is okay and it's good, and they approved it. A day of infamy in our country may have been the beginning of the end, because this is God's sacred institution for making the human race go on, for the continuation of the race, and for blessing of the human race. We see things like pornography everywhere. In fact, when you get on the web, about a fourth of all web searches have to do with pornography. That's incredible and amazing. And some Christians are getting involved in pornography. I wouldn't give you statistics today. You would not believe them. But I'll tell you a very minimum of 25% of Christians are dabbling in pornography today. That's 1 in 4 of God's elect people. We need to get the helmet of salvation on our head, that mind protector, and get the garbage out of our minds and let the Lord Jesus control our minds. We see that normal human relationships are being corrupted by the internet. And it's happening all the time. I know probably everybody here except me is on Facebook. But be careful on Facebook. They tell us today that the average Facebook person has 130 friends. But that person only talks to 4 to 6 of them. And they're probably missing that friend who lives next door who could really be a friend. or that Christian in the church who would be a wonderful spiritual friend to you. We miss that because we're allowing this present evil age to influence our relationships one with another. The regular worship of God is being polluted by idolatry. And folks, let me tell you, we still bow down to blocks of stone. Our fancy houses, we bow down to blocks of metal. Our fancy cars, we spend a lot of time on them and thinking about them and working with them. But you know, when we stop worshiping God, many times we begin to worship ourselves or other people. And that's what's happening in the United States today. We are people worshipers. You can't go through the checkout stand without seeing all these people that we worship. And I'll tell you one thing, people do not make very good gods and goddesses. We read as we go through the checkout stand that this god or goddess just got in jail, they're on dope, their marriage broke up, you know, horrible things happening to our gods and goddesses of this age. So people make poor gods. We see a disintegration today of world governments in this present evil age. If you want to read about this, go back to the book of Daniel, the second chapter. He'll tell you all about it. It was Nebuchadnezzar's vision when the sovereign state of Israel was defeated and went into obscurity in 586 B.C., four world governments arose in the place of Israel, and those governments continue unto this very day. They were Babylon, the head of gold, Media Persia, arms of silver, Greece, a belly and thighs of bronze, Rome, Eastern and Western divisions, 2 feet of iron. But when you get down to the feet themselves, they're made of iron and clay, a very crumbly mixture. It is from those toes, Daniel tells us, that Antichrist will arise. So we see today the crumbling of nations, even our own nation. And we see several burned out nations here in the Middle East and millions of people on the move. That tells us that we are entering into the last days, doesn't it? This move of people over the face of the earth. So there is a collapse of governmental systems in our world today. Our country is broke. We owe so much, I don't know if we can ever pay it back. So there's a collapse of governmental systems in our world as Daniel saw it. The interesting thing about Daniel, he says in 2:35 that all of these governments will collapse at the same time. So they're still exercising power and authority over us. Think about Greece. We're in a life and death struggle today with humanism. We got that from Greece. Think about all the craziness of religion today. We got it from Babylon. All these things are affecting us today, but not for long. Because a rock hewn out of Mount Zion will crash into this image. And it'll crash into Antichrist's government and turn it to dust. It will blow away with the wind. And the messianic kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus will grow like a great mountain in this earth. And that mountain will not be moved. It will last forever. So we seem to be in the toe period of human history today as governments collapse and fade away. So as our governments collapse, as the end time pushes upon us, there's going to be a lot of trouble, difficulty. The Bible says with much tribulation we will inherit the kingdom of God. Lots of trouble. We need to have our armor on for this last day, don't we? We need to be standing tall in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's going to be a lot of mourning as people's plans come to nothing. Revelation 1:7. But there'll be great joy in the saints. We can lift up our head as we see the day of Christ coming. And that day seems to be very near. There will be great joy for the saints. Many people thrown into shock. There will be fire purging the evil of this world. The Bible says wicked people will be torn out of the earth, that the angels will gather them together and take them away. God is going to purge this earth. The devil's not going to have the last word in this earth. This earth belongs to God, and Jesus Christ is coming to take charge of it and to claim it, and he will hold it forever and ever. So great mourning, great trouble, but also great joy for the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be flames of fire, 2 Peter tells us, 2:9. But you know, just as God made Noah waterproof, he can make us fireproof. You know that? With the word of God and with the preparation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really don't think God is going to destroy this word. This world, the Bible says in many places that this world was founded to last forever. But God's going to purge it. I like to think of it as a kind of recycling of this world. As God gets rid of all the evil, evil people, evil things, evil ideas, and brings glory to this old globe of ours. I like something that William Inge said. He said, whoever marries the spirit of this age will find himself a widower in the age to come. Let me rephrase that. Whoever marries the spirit of this age will find herself a widow in the age to come. Well, enough of the present evil age. We've all had our fill of it anyway. Let's go on to the age to come and spend just a little bit of time there. We see this in Matthew 12:32, Luke 20:35. This is called in Hebrew, Ha'olam Haba, the coming age. And after the fire, after the difficulty, after the trouble, the Bible says that a trumpet is going to sound. Do you realize that our age is going to end with the sounding of a trumpet? And when that trumpet sounds, some incredible things are going to happen. One thing that's going to happen is that in the twinkling of an eye, you will have a brand new immortal body like that of Christ. Do you believe that today? Quicker than you can bat your eye, your body will be remade. If you're alive when Christ comes, when that trumpet sounds, you will have a new body and a new life. And you know, with the same quickness, the righteous dead will raise with perfected bodies. Isn't that incredible? You know, we struggle a lot with these old bodies. As he said, I'm about 80 years old, and I'm about ready for my new body. How about you? Arthritis is going to be gone. You know, tooth trouble, you know, back problems, all that is over with. When that trumpet sounds, you will have a new body guaranteed by the word of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm ready for that. And you know, a lot of things will change. Our minds won't work against themselves anymore. We won't forget things anymore. We won't have wrong ideas and wrong theologies anymore because we will truly have the mind of Christ. When that trumpet sounds, you'll have a new body, new mind. The only picture of this we have is Jesus. He is the first fruits from the dead. And nobody like him. He is the one person who's come out of the grave with a brand new resurrected body. Think of all that Jesus could do. There were no space-time limitations for Jesus and his new body. He could be in the Galilee. He could be in Jerusalem. He could walk straight through a locked door with his body. You know, I believe that when we get those new bodies, the day of jet lag will be over with. What do you think? If we want to go to Jerusalem, we might just be there that quick. So, what a wonderful thing, the new body. I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life, as that old song used to go. The righteous dead will be resurrected in the first resurrection. That's the one you want to be on, folks. You don't want to be on the second resurrection. It's a resurrection for judgment of the wicked. But we will come forth with new bodies. And something else, the kingdom of God will be established in this world. God has not given up on this world. The kingdom of God will be established when that trumpet sounds. And I think it's a kind of a prototype kingdom. I don't know how to describe it. I don't see it clearly, and I don't think any of us do, because it's mostly hidden from us. But we have little glimpses all through the Bible about this age that is coming. The kingdom of God will be established. The law of God will go forth from Jerusalem. So we see something very geocentric in the end days, something very Jerusalem-centric, if I could use the word. This city, this town is going to gain incredible importance as the messianic government rules over the earth. This is a kind of a prototype period of 1,000 years. You know, our church fathers, some of them didn't like that idea at all. In fact, some of our church fathers throughout the millennium, they said there's really no such thing. It's kind of Jewish. And they threw it out. But you know, it's right here in the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation. We see a lot of examples of it in other places, like the scripture I read this morning, like Isaiah 65, like Jeremiah 3, like Zechariah 14 talks about this incredible period of time. And in that period of time, there are some astounding things happen. Remember, when the trumpet sounded, what happened to us? We got a new body, a new spiritual body. And God has put us here to rule this earth like Adam was supposed to rule it. Just like God, to go right back to Genesis and pick up where it left off and finish it up in the book of Revelation, isn't it? So we're going to have the opportunity in this new earth to reign and to rule for Christ. And you know that reigning needs to start right now. It needs to start in our lives. Young people who are here, it needs to start for you. You need to rule over your room. Clean the thing up. You need to rule over your homework. You need to rule over your computers. Adults, the same thing is true. We need to rule and reign. You know what the Bible says? It says that we are to reign in life. That's Romans 5:17. We need to be started right now to rule over our attitudes, to rule over our habits. And it starts right now. And it goes right into the end of days. We keep on ruling for Christ. I don't know how we started doing this, but we seem to have it all backwards. When we look at the Bible, we have everything going up. We're going up. We're going to sit on a cloud and strum a harp. Where did we get such crazy ideas? I've got a little harp, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to strum it for 1,000 years. That's nonsense. You know, we're going to be here administering this world as it is being renewed by Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. You think I'm making this up, don't you? Let's go to the book of Revelation. I want to read a verse. Revelation 5:10. Revelation 5:10. I've been a Christian for over 70 years, and I have never in my life ever heard anybody preach from this verse. I don't think I've ever heard anybody seriously teach from this verse. Let's read it together. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they shall reign on the earth. How did we get everything going up when the Bible says everything is coming down? The kingdom is coming. The Lord told us to pray for the kingdom to come, not to go. And we see the New Jerusalem coming down to earth. We see the bride coming down to earth. You know what we see? We also see Satan coming down to earth. He gets thrown out of heaven. Can you believe that? And you know what the Bible says? We have something to do with that. Do you believe it? The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And all of a sudden the ground gets cut out from under Satan, and he comes tumbling down to earth with his angels for the judgment of God. I like something that Derek Prince said. He preached in this church, a great man of God who's gone on to his reward. Here's what he said. It's important for us to recognize that the victory in this conflict against Satan's kingdom will only come through a joint action by God's angels in heaven and believers on earth. This challenges us to ask whether or not we on earth are sensitive to what is taking place in heaven and ready to play our part. Are you ready to play your part? God has a lot of wonderful things in store for us. We're not going to strum a harp for 1,000 years. We need to get off of that. But we'll be here thinking God's thoughts, helping administer God's new creation. There's a lot of things we need to discover, isn't there? I think of one little earthly example. A grain of sand. Is there anything more lowly than a grain of sand? And you know, some scientists took that grain of sand and, with the help of God, no doubt, discovered silicon. And the whole cyber computer industry burst into being from a grain of sand. Think of all the other things God would like us to be thinking about, pursuing His greatness, His wisdom, His knowledge, and His glory in the world to come. I'd like to be in that world. I think we need to start getting the excitement early Christians had. They couldn't hardly touch the ground. Their feet just barely would touch the ground. They were so excited about the possibility of ruling and reigning with Christ and enjoying His glory in the age to come. And I think we need to get ready for that age. We need to start thinking and praying about it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to start saying the things that they were saying. They were shouting them, Maranatha! Maranatha! And we see it in Revelation 22. Amen! Come, Lord Jesus! Hallelujah! Thank you.
about you, but I really enjoy older ministers' messages. They're born out of experience and a wealth of understanding, and they're looking for things that are just ahead of us. And some of us, in the younger set, are really focused on what's around the corner, our lives, and things like that. But you find that older believers, they're looking just over into the future, and anticipating what God will do to fulfill this word. So thank you, Jim, and we will take that to heart, and we will. It says that those that look for his coming renew that hope within us. So that is wonderful. Amen. We're going to sing a song about the reality of knowing that fulfillment.
And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. Lifting up the banner for the nations, to demonstrate the purpose of his kingdom. We are not ashamed to proclaim his name, and the glory of the Lord fills all in all. And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea.
I want to greet the group from Australia. There's a group from Japan, and I think from Sweden. And Sophie's sister is here. Get to know her right here in the front. And Angel has her sister, Grace, with her from France. And so be friendly and go out of your way to meet someone and greet them in the name of the Lord, okay? Lord be with you and bless you. Amen.
And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. And the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. Lifting up his banner for the nation, celebrate the fullness of his kingdom. And the glory of the Lord fills all in.